This is Wes Hills, running back for Slippery Rock University, and this is Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Slippery Rock University Football, and game number 14 of the season, and it's the NCAA quarterfinal round. We are coming to you live today from South Euclid, Ohio, and Muller Field at Notre Dame College. Slippery Rock University Football, as the Rock takes on the Falcons today. I'm Bob Kupp, along with Glenn Thompson, back alongside Carr as we get set for an exciting playoff game today. And Glenn, welcome back. Good to have you here, and we're excited to bring a playoff atmosphere. And I'll tell you what, there's a large Rock contingent along for the ride here today.
What a difference to be able to play only a little less than 2 hours away from home as opposed to seven or eight. Yeah, a couple extra buses, the band, the cheerleaders. I mean, honestly, Bob, I'm not just saying this because we're on the Rock, you know, radio broadcast. There's more Rock fans than there are Notre Dame fans here right now. I mean, we still have about 15 minutes before kickoff, but the way the stands are filled up right now, there's more green and white than there is the blue.
There is, and it's an exciting atmosphere. I mean, you know, I think everybody is just enjoying the moment. I know you're going to visit with Coach Sean Lutz here in a moment, in about 5 minutes or so as we go to the field. I know he felt pretty good Wednesday about just being in this moment and enjoying that moment. Obviously, the team, a little more focused on what's going to happen on the field, but you have to appreciate the fact that they got to this point. And an interesting playoff history for this Rock football team, but having something this close to home and giving the opportunity for the fans to see this. Now, we saw a great contingent travel the last couple of weeks to see these Rock games out on Long Island and up in Connecticut, but a two-hour drive to near Cleveland here today, really a special opportunity for the university and all of the Rock faithful.
You know, you said it about 5 minutes before we came on air. You looked at me and said, it's December 1st, and we're doing a football game. And that's pretty cool. You know, not something that we haven't done for a couple of years, playing this late into the season. A chance to be one of the final four teams in the entire country after the next 3.5 hours or so. I mean, it's just there's so much buzz, so much energy. But you better believe that as much buzz and energy as there is on the Slippery Rock sideline, it's the same thing on Notre Dame sideline.
Sure is.
You know, because they're in the same spot. They have a chance to put themselves in the final four in the country. So I expect a ton of energy, which may be good or bad, because you can let those emotions get the best of you sometimes. But a ton of energy, hard hitting, great football game coming up here today.
Well, let's talk about it. It is Slippery Rock University's fourth NCAA playoff appearance in the last 6 years, seventh overall in Division II. The Rock 0-6 in road playoff games entering this year, but they have picked up back-to-back road wins and are now 7-6 all time. The Rock reached the NCAA semifinals back in 1998, but have not advanced past the quarterfinals since then. Slippery Rock's most recent run this deep into the postseason was a 2015 loss in the quarterfinals. So we'll see what happens today as they try to get to that round of four. For Notre Dame, this is a new experience. They're in their first NCAA playoff this year, picked up a win last week in their first playoff game here at home, knocking off Hillsdale out of Michigan in a tight battle that really came down to the last play of the game, where it was totally the difference for the Rock. The Rock actually had their starters pulled by the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, it's just differing routes of getting here. You talk about a Slippery Rock team that has been the road warriors, not playing away from the friendly confines of Mahalik Thompson Stadium, Notre Dame coming off a bye and then a home game, and yet here we both are, you know, with a chance to win and move on today. But yeah, that game last week against Hillsdale, I mean, as you said, literally down to the last play of the game, that can be good for a team to win a game that way, to be able to grind one out for a full 60 minutes and still come out on top. Kind of gives you that chip on your shoulder a little bit, a little puff in your chest, and makes you feel better, a little bit more confident coming into this week's game.
Of course, the Rock had to do that the week before and then had a little bit of a breather at the end of last week, which was surprising. So they've had both ends of the spectrum. They're also coming in with a little bit of playoff experience, and that can be helpful as well. It's an interesting trek for the Rock, and you know, the Rock fans out there, I've heard it from a lot of fans out there, you know, the disrespect or what they feel is disrespect that the Rock has experienced this year. And we can kind of go through that as we progress here, because they were the seventh seed coming in. They're now playing the number one seed here today. And it's interesting to see that all four number one seeds remain in the super regions. There are four of those.
Yep.
There's a two seed, and of course, actually two number two seeds, and then a number three seed. So here's this lowly number seven seed still lingering around. Four upsets in Super Region 1 in these playoffs. It's been fascinating to see them being knocked off one at a time, with the exception of Notre Dame College. And obviously Notre Dame had a bye in week number one, so they got to sit out week one and watch some of those upsets start to pop up. Of course, the Rock has had an interesting trek to get here, as you said, and it's almost amazing to see what they have overcome and the key reason why they have been overlooked for such an uptime period. It all dates back to that Shippensburg game in week number two. Didn't get off to a great start week one, fell behind early, had to come back and win, and then went out and got really literally hammered at Shippensburg simply because of injuries. That was a game that, I guess if you look back to the Steeler game last week, they lost a game very similar fashion.
Well, you had a Shippensburg game that wasn't the Rock's best game. Still had a chance to win it. They bounce back afterwards, though, and go on a huge winning streak where they're really dominating football games. And then the Westchester game happened. And we're sitting there, and we talked about this on the way up here. And in that post game, I remember saying, this is not a team that opponents want to see get into the playoffs, because you saw throughout the regular season, Slippery Rock was a really good football team. They had one bad game against Westchester to end the regular season, but that means they learned a lot about themselves in that game. I mean, whenever you get beat the way they got beat by Westchester, you figure some things out that, hey, we need to improve here, here, and here. And because of that, that's why I was saying you do not want to face this Slippery Rock team in the postseason. They're a good team, and they just got their butts whooped, which means they're a dangerous team. And we saw that. They went out to LIU post, beat LIU at their own game, essentially. You know, that hard-hitting, tough, grinded-out defensive type of game. And then they go out last week with New Haven and just put on an air show. And so now they've won two games in the postseason two different ways. And for if you're Notre Dame watching film, how do you prepare? Because now they've put two different style of victories on film, and you don't know what to prepare for today.
Going back to that Shippensburg game, when you look at what happened, and the Rock is seemingly in the rest of the world looking around kind of scenario, have been digging themselves out of that. But think about this as you reflect back on that game. Slippery Rock lost seven starters or key players to injuries in that game, including three captains. Their starting quarterback, Andrew Kester, safety Tavares Sample, both leading captains, and they would be ruled out for the year. They also lost starting defensive tackle Wilfred Clark, who was off to an amazing start in that game. And they also lost running back Wes Hills.
Yeah, second snap of the game.
Second snap. A series into the game, and they lose him. Yep. And yet, they almost won that game against all odds. I mean, they put up 500 yards of offense, as crazy as that sounds, because Taylor King, large part, backup quarterback, came in and put up a show. Unfortunately, he lost that ball, the handle on the snap, at the end of the game when they were trying to run the clock out. And I know a lot of people were saying, why didn't they take knees? Well, they couldn't take a knee in that scenario. They had to snap the ball and get to out of the end zone. And it was almost a negative thing where they got the ball back inside the five-yard line. It was just the worst-case scenario, and they made one bad play, and it cost them the game. And they've been trying to dig their way out of that ever since. But yet, they got to that championship game, got the wake-up call, and here they are today.
And credit the coaching staff, because that type of situation, Bob, you can have some 18- and 19-year-old young men not rebound well from that.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? They won their next seven after that? So I think they did all right rebounding after such a – you know, it's different to lose that way than it is to go out and, you know, lose by 30 points to a better team. To have the game essentially won, fumble it away in the end zone, things just kind of fall apart on you, that's tough to rebound from. And sure enough, this team answered. They got their heads on right. The coaching staff got them back on the, you know, right path, and all of a sudden they come away as the Western Division champs in the conference. So, yeah, it's not ideal that you lost that game to Shippensburg, but you know, where we're at today, still doing some football games, maybe it wasn't the worst thing that happened all season.
28 teams enter this field in the NCAA playoffs. There are four games across the entire United States in Division II football today, and one of them is here at Notre Dame Falcons Stadium, Muller Field, and a beautiful campus here right outside of Cleveland.
But that's one thing, you know, you talk about there are 28 teams make the playoffs. When you're talking 1 through 28, because I know there's been so much made about Slippery Rock being a 7 seed, when you're talking 1 through 28 out of how many hundred football teams? Come on, they're competitive. 1 through 28, you got to think, are all competitive football teams that can hang with each other.
We're going to take a break, and we'll send Glenn down to the field to visit with Coach Sean Lutz as we return to the pregame. It's Rock football against Notre Dame, NCAA playoff football, right here on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
Count on the Butler Agway for all your farm, lawn and garden, and pet food and supplies made in the USA. At Agway, you'll also find a large selection of bird food and bird feeders. The sauerkraut crocks are a big seller, and they make wonderful gifts. Butler Agway, your complete source for all of your animal feeding needs and supplies. Route 68 west of Butler, the Butler Agway, your holiday shopping source for your animals and all of your best friends.
Neglen's Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your family. You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Neglen's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Neglen's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System, only at Neglen's. You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance.
Go straight to you.
Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
Rock football on the station that rocks. The Rock Station, 97.7.
We're getting close, about 6 minutes away from kickoff here at Muller Field in Ohio. The Rock and Notre Dame today. Let's go to Glenn Thompson. He's down on the field with Coach Sean Lutz.
Getting set for kickoff down here on the field, joined right now by Rock head coach Sean Lutz. Coach, it's the third week of the playoffs. You have Notre Dame College today. Let's start with the injury update for your squad as you get set for kickoff.
Healthy right now. You can't ask for anything better at this time of year. We've got guys banged up and stuff like that, but we're healthy. We're ready to play and see what happens today.
Obviously, there's a lot that goes into winning a football game, but when you look at this matchup today, the two running backs on both sides are going to be such a key factor. Both teams run the ball a lot and efficiently. Big test today.
Yeah, I said earlier in the week, you're going to look at each stat of West Hills, you're going to look at the other guy, McLaughlin, who's a Harlan Hill finalist, and I think you're going to see whoever has the most yards rushing will probably win the game, and also the team that plays the cleanest, limited turnovers, or can create turnovers will probably end up victorious today.
Coach, your team has really embraced this road challenge. 3 weeks on the road, 2 wins so far. It just seems like, you know, they're so good at home, but these 3 weeks on the road, they've been putting up some impressive performances.
Yeah, we've just been playing resilient football, and really, why not us, why not now is our motto, and we're not going to back down from anybody. We're going to play as hard as we can, relentless style football. Hopefully that's the best we're going to get today. We expect to win every time we come out here. Whether we do or not, we're going to play 60 minutes as hard as we can.
It's the national quarterfinals. Good luck today against Notre Dame.
Hey, appreciate the coverage, and go Rock.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, well, we're about set to go here, about 4 minutes away from kickoff today. Bob Kupp, Glenn Thompson with you here on The Rock Station, 97.7. We thank all of our broadcast sponsors who have been with us here this year and are ready for today's broadcast to bring you the action, including Negley's Bottled Water, Next Year Bank, Butler Agway, Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, of course, Slippery Rock University Athletics, Lutz Automotive, Schneider Heating, and also we welcome aboard Troy Allen, Chevrolet in Slippery Rock. And they're on board for the broadcast today. We welcome them as well. And thank you, the listeners, for spending your Saturdays with us here as we present you the 14th game of the season. And this is a lot of fun getting ready for the action here today. Well, this is going to be an interesting day. Let's look back to last week. Slippery Rock put together its most complete performance of the year, a 39-point win on the road up in Connecticut against New Haven. Very balanced day. It was amazing to see the balance last week. 263 passing yards, 263 rushing yards for the Rock, and of course they were led by Big Wes Hills, 188 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he only played 3 quarters, ladies and gentlemen. Roland Rivers, almost the same story. In 3 quarters time, Roland Rivers III, 249 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a key, no interceptions. Jake Chapla booted all 8 extra points and made a 33-yard field goal, a near-perfect day for the Rock last week. To repeat that performance, you have to expect that won't happen. It's almost an impossibility in the game of football, but we'll see what they bring today. Notre Dame dominated number 23 Hillsdale in the first half last week, holding the Chargers to less than 50 total yards of offense and put up 200 yards of their own. They led 10-0 at halftime, but Hillsdale took to the air in the second half, took the lead with a pair of touchdowns in the third quarter, where Notre Dame would respond, scoring 9 in the fourth quarter to regain a 19-14 lead. Hillsdale marched down the field and had a look at the game winner as time expired, but a pass went through the fingertips of the Hillsdale receiver in the back of the end zone that would have won the game. And that was the difference in the game. Hillsdale also lost two fumbles on the Notre Dame one-yard line in the game. So that was a game that arguably Notre Dame should have walked away with a Hillsdale should have walked away with a win, but it was Notre Dame outlasting them, and here they are today. And that's the only chance a lot of time a team will need. So it presents a very, very interesting matchup here today. And we talked about it in the pregame as Glenn Thompson's made it back to the booth now. Running the ball will be the key. Slippery Rock, 11-0 this year when they rush for at least 100 yards as a team, and 8-0 when they hold opponents to less than 100 rushing yards. Something tells me today that something is going to give in that category, because with some rain expected here within the next hour, and it could be some steady heavy rain at times, I think both teams are going to end up having to run the ball today. And when you look at Wes Hills and you look at Jaleel McLaughlin, this is a premier matchup of two of the best running backs in all of NCAA football.
It's no secret why these two teams are where they are. You know, as much as college football has gone to the spread offense, fast pace, if you can't run the football, you're not going to win. And so you got two stud running backs. But that stat you mentioned where they're 11-0 when the team rushes for 100 yards, you know what that tells me? Roland Rivers is a big part of that. You know, and especially today with some two extremely talented defensive ends for Notre Dame that can get after the quarterback, the pocket's going to break down today. It's going to be up to Roland Rivers to be able to escape and make some plays with his legs, getting upfield and moving the sticks that way.
Well, The Rock is going to receive the ball first. They're going to get the ball into their hands, and that's what they want today. Obviously, their defense has been part of this, and we've talked a lot about this Rock offense all year, but the second half defense has been incredible. Last week's third quarter touchdown, which was turning out to be meaningless, was the first they had. Deep Mark Carter and Jermaine Wynn Jr., and they'll receive the kickoff from the kicker punter Tanner Harding, who's a sophomore kicker for Notre Dame College.
What makes it cool, Bob, is that this stadium does not have the track around the field, so the stands, everybody's right on top of the field. The energy here today is fantastic.
There's still a line of people to come into the gate today. That's how many people are here, and they're surrounding the field, and we are underway. Slippery Rock University football underway, and Jermaine Wynn comes up, takes it at his 8, and he's across the 10, 15, 20, 25, and hit and dropped at the 29-yard line. Good tackle that time by number 6, Dylan Spaeth. Linebacker, and he comes off the field with the congratulations to him, along with number 44, Nathan Moore. And we're underway as The Rock will take out first and 10 at the 29-yard line. Here, Slippery Rock University football on The Rock Station, 97.7. Bob Cupp and Glenn Thompson excited to bring you the action here today. And here comes Roland Rivers III with Wes Hills in the backfield, and they're going to split trip receivers to the near side. Henry Littman alone up on the Rock sideline. And they're up on the far hash, the Rock sideline. And a quick screen pass to the outside. Henry Litwin comes back for it and goes across the 40 at the 35 out to the 37-yard line. A quick hitter for
That's
about 8.
Good read by Roland Rivers. He has the ability and the option on that play. He saw man-to-man coverage with Henry Litwin up top, so might as well hit the quick screener, and that's an easy 7 yards.
His knee went down at the 36. It is 7, 2nd and 3. Wes Hills backside. Roland Rivers, he takes the handoff. He's going to stretch it to the outside. He's got a big hole. First down across the 45 and is out across the 40. Well, they say at the 45 itself. And a nice gain there of 9.
Yeah, just a really nice job by the right side of that offensive line. Colton Robb, Steve Gaviglia opening up that hole for Wes Hills. And he just explodes through. Unfortunately, got tripped up or else he might have had some more yardage.
First and 10, Slippery Rock near midfield. They're still in their own territory at the 45. Here's the snap to Roland Rivers. He's in the pistol, and he's going to give it again to Big Wes, and that line stacks up very quickly, and he kind of went around a tackler, but there were a host of blue shirts there, and he goes for 1 yard.
Trying to go right up the middle, and, absolutely just plugged right now by that defensive line in the middle. on that play. But, you know, that's one thing to try to avoid today is getting behind the sticks. You don't want to put yourself in these second and third and long situations. So pivotal to get some yardage here on second down.
Shahan Williams, 14 sacks for Notre Dame College. Vincent Ellis, defensive end, 9.5. They're very, very good. Here's a pitch to the outside on a play that looked like it was being blown up very quickly, and Rivers just held the ball perfectly, got it to West, gets a couple out of it, nears the 48-yard line. They pick up two. It will set up about a third and seven.
Yeah, really good patience by Roland Rivers on that play, getting the defense to finally commit to him. Everybody first went to West Hills, but they all started flowing in towards Rivers. He gets the late pitch out, and they get positive yardage.
So it's a third and six near midfield for the Rock. Here's the snap to Roland Rivers. He's looking downfield, has plenty of time, throws it to the outside. It's Austin Scott. He has it in his hands, and he drops it. A flat-out drop. He was hit by number 22, DeMarco Bush, on that play, but he had already dropped the ball at that point.
Yep.
Number six had a perfect opportunity to give the Rock a first down, and it was a drop.
Yeah, I know that the Notre Dame defender in the sideline wants to celebrate that, but, I mean, they have nothing to celebrate. He made no play. It was a flat-out drop. I mean, just a bad drop by Austin Scott.
So back deep will be Marvell Ross. He's a very dangerous return man, junior receiver. And here's the boot from Jake Chapla, and he's got a high boot, going to kick it away from any opportunity for Ross to grab that, and it takes a Rock bounce inside the 15, rolls down around the 10-yard line, and that's where Notre Dame College will come out. So positive start to the game for the first four plays, and then a blatant drop on third down, and that forced the Rock to punt, and Notre Dame College will bring their offense out onto the field, and we'll be obviously very anxious to see the offense operate with Jaleel McLaughlin, who is a Harlan Hill candidate, number 20, the running back. They're led by Chris Brim, who's a redshirt freshman quarterback, a very dynamic running back. This is a two-time track champion in North Carolina. Yeah. This kid can fly.
Yeah, the front seven will have their hands full today, that's for sure.
12:41 mark of the opening quarter, no score. First series for Notre Dame, and they hand it off to McLaughlin. He goes into the pile and is stopped as he crosses the 10. He gets 1 yard on that play. The Rock defense ready for it in the middle of that. Defense very, very stout this year, but I saw on the backside Tristan McDonald coming in to help on that assist.
And that'll be big today, Bob, is, you know, clog up the middle, but whenever he does try to bounce it to the outside, to not let him get to the edge, not let him use that speed, keep him contained.
He's sidecar right to Brim, and he takes the handoff, tries to stretch, and he does. And there he goes. He's got a first down and more. Going to be hit, knocked out of bounds by Dalton Holt, but not before he got across the 25-yard line. So that will be a quick kick up of 14. And you see that speed to the outside. Yep. He can stretch the field so well.
Yeah, these outside linebackers and the defensive ends are going to be so huge today to try to get him to cut back towards the middle of the field. Because as soon as he gains a step towards the sideline, he is gone.
He's a sidecar left this time for Brim, who's in the shotgun. He takes the snap. He drops back. He looks to throw. Here comes pressure. He dumps it off. Tackle made by Eric Glover-Williams. The pass caught as a flag comes in on the backside to Connor Henry. He's a 6-foot junior wide receiver out of Dayton, Ohio.
Well, Brim was upright after the play, so I don't think it's going to be roughing the passer. This has got to be some type of holding call against Notre Dame.
We'll see what happens here. The pass was complete. It was good for about five, but hold the phone. Let's see what this is. And a lot of discussion going on. Now here comes the referee to make the call. And, we don't have a crowd mic today, so we'll try to read that for you. There's a temporary press box set up here today. It is a personal foul.
Chop block.
Chop block against the offense.
Oh, they call McLaughlin. So we must have had a offensive lineman locked up on one of our defensive linemen, and he comes in and chops him at the legs. So I'll be honest, I didn't see it. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I did not see that breakdown the way it did. So either way, though, that's going to back them up big time.
Yeah, it's going to step them back instead of being around the 26 now. That'll move it back inside the 15. And I think they're going to spot this right about, the 13-yard line? So big penalty there against Notre Dame. Backs them up. It'll be first and 23 now. So they had the 14-yard carry for the first down on the second play, then the penalty. First and 23. No score here. We're just underway. Man in motion is the receiver 87 who caught that last pass. And here's a handoff to McLaughlin, and he tries to get away but is quickly brought down as on the backside of that play coming in, number 95 for the Rock, Trey Blanford, And it's a minimal gain across the 15. Got about three out of that.
But, Bob, you can already see it. I mean, he's a smaller, fast running back. His comfort zone is the sidelines. He doesn't like running up the middle because there's just too much traffic. He's not big enough. So he's going to try to bounce everything out as much as possible. Keep that contained.
It's a second and 19. Here's the snap to Brim. He looks downfield. He looks to throw. Man cuts, and he caught it. And it's that big receiver we talked about, Marvell Ross, catches it at about the 30, maybe the 29. It's still going to be short of the first down, but he gets some of that penalty yardage back, and it'll make it a third and 7 now.
Yeah, that's a big pickup on second and long to be able to get to a more manageable third down.
That's a gain of 12. It'll set up third and 7 at the 29. Brim will be in the pistol with a sidecar left to McLaughlin, but they do the check with me to the sideline. Let's see what they find out. Trip receivers to the top side, four receivers set for Notre Dame College. They are the Falcons, and yes, McLaughlin now shifts to the right side. Drop back pass. Brim looks, has a lot of time, throws. It's in and out of the hands as pressure came, and that was, again, the guy they've been throwing right at, Connor Henry, and it went right through his hands. Kind of a similar situation on third down here for both teams.
Yeah, that's two third downs and two drops by wide receivers. I mean, that's all there is to it. Now, in that situation, Connor was coming back. I don't think he was going to have the first down yardage anyway because he was really coming back to try to get the separation. He was going to be short of the first down yardage anyway, but still, you have so maybe just a little bit of nerves here in quarterfinal action on third down to – get a couple of drops.
Yeah, we're expecting rain, but you can't blame it on the rain. There's nothing here yet.
It's dry right now.
Here's the punt now from Harding, and back deep is Jermaine Wynn, and it's kind of an angling punt toward the sideline. In fact, it goes out. That's probably going to be in the vicinity of the 40. Let's see where they spot this, because it went way out of bounds, and he's coming across the 40. This is going to be near the 43-yard line, so good field position for the Rock to start. No score, 10-22 mark of this opening quarter.
I tell you what, Bob, that looked intentional. I don't think they wanted Jermaine Wynn to touch that ball in the return, so they just went with the punt out of bounds and did not give an opportunity for a return.
So it'll be first and 10, Slippery Rock, as they start out with Wes Hills and Roland Rivers the third, and they're also going to bring out into the backfield Chakar Berry, the back set. And in motion goes Wes Hills. It's Roland Rivers faking the handoff. He looks downfield. Here comes pressure. Throws it way downfield. Has a man breaking. It's Mike Marhaat, but he throws it over his head by about 3 yards. He had Mike Marhaat open, just let him a bit too much.
Great play design. You have a run formation. A lot of your action pre-snap shows run, and then all of a sudden Roland Rivers pulls it back, and they try to pop one deep with a post pattern, just a little overthrown.
You got to wonder if Justin Roper, the offensive coordinator, is thinking, all right, we've got to get something on the board here because rain's coming in. That might limit the throwing later.
Yep.
Second down and 10. Jermaine Wynn and Austin Scott will be on the near side. Dakota Clanigan and Henry Litwin on the top side. Wes Hills is going to be behind Roland Rivers III, who's in the pistol. And here's the snap. Play action. A hit. And this time it's caught by Dakota Clanigan out of the slot. And he gets a few yards out to the 47-yard line. It'll be a gain of 4.
Essentially a run play, just trying to get 3 or 4 yards to set up a more manageable third down. Third and 6, very manageable for this offense. So good pickup there on second down, not putting yourself in a third and long situation.
Now they'll go with trip receivers to the Rock sideline, and that will be Wynn, Clanigan, and Litwin. Near side, Austin Scott. Sidecar to the left now. Wes Hills is to Roland Rivers III, and Rivers takes the snap. Here comes pressure. He steps up and he throws. He has Henry Litwin. He's got a first down.
He almost dropped it.
He caught it, and it's now they're going to say he lost the ball at the end of the play. So he came down with the ball, took a hit, and then the ball squirted free, but they say it was not a catch.
It's a good call. That's a good call. He was bobbling that on the way down. I don't think he ever really had possession of it enough to be able to call it a catch. While it was ripped out of there late, again, the action was still happening, the bobble, so that's a good call.
It's a three and out for Slippery Rock. They'll punt it away. Jake Chaplow will stand at his 32. Back deep is number 7, Marvell Ross, for the Notre Dame College Falcons, and a high booming kick sends Ross all the way back to his 5, where he catches it. Now he sets it up and waits for some blocking help, and he has to scramble to the outside. He avoids a tackle, spins out of another, is across the 5 to the 7-yard line.
And that'll drive a coach crazy because he caught that ball inside the 5-yard line. I mean, I understand you're a big play guy, you're a good return man, and you want to make something happen, but you got to be smart, especially here in the quarterfinals. If that ball's sailing over your head and you're going to catch it inside the 5, let it bounce, go into the end zone, and set your team up with first and 10 from the 25. Instead, he tries to get a return, only gets it out to what, the 8-yard line?
8-yard line is where the Falcons will start.
They end up losing 17 yards on that.
That was a 48-yard punt by Jake Chapla. So first and 10, Brim will bring McLaughlin out backfield, and they have a double receiver set with a tight end. And here's the handoff, McLaughlin. He tries to stretch it up, and he's tackled in the backfield. Coming up big for the Rock again is Trey Blanford.
Yet again, Bob, look at it. That play was designed to go up the middle. And what did McLaughlin do? He tried to bounce it to the outside. So, man, the contain today by these edge defenders, defensive ends, outside linebackers, it's going to be so pivotal because he is going to look to do that all day.
Tackle for a loss of a yard by Trey Blanford. It'll be second and 11. Brim in the pistol. And he hands it off, McLaughlin, and he goes into the pile, and there is nothing there. The Rock defense ready, and he might have lost another yard. In fact, he did. Back to the 6-yard line, back-to-back losses of a yard.
Yeah, nice job by the interior of the defensive line. We got a little pushing and shoving, and great job here because you have Dalton Holt getting in a little bit of a verbal disagreement with one of the players on Notre Dame, and who comes over to him but big old number 52, Jeff Marks, pushes him back and tells him just to calm down. So nice job by Jeff Marks of getting his player out of there and avoiding any type of penalty.
Speak with your presence, not your mouth today. It is third and 12 from the 6-yard line. Here's the snap to Brim. He looks to throw. Looks downfield. Has some time. Has a throw downfield. Wide open is Ross. He caught it. He got behind the defender. Looked like Cameron Spadacine might have slipped there a little bit. And big number 7, he has 1,000 yards in this season, and he shows prime example why as he catches that out to the 38-yard line. And a gain of 22.
Runs a wheel route down the sideline. And those wheel routes, you know, if you're a defense, they're hard to keep track of because you kind of think it's a screen at first, and all of a sudden the guy takes off down the sideline.
Here's a first down handoff. McLaughlin goes into the pile, breaks a tackle, breaks another, breaks a third, spins into a fourth. Finally brought down by Eric Glover-Williams, but not before he got to the 50-yard line. He'll pick up 12 on that one. That's the danger of this Falcon team. You can hold them down, pin them down, and they've got two huge playmakers that can change the game.
Glover-Williams now going to be lined up man-to-man on the outside with Ross.
First and 10, Falcons. Hand off McLaughlin, goes into that pile again, and no gain on that one. In fact, he loses a yard on that carry.
Have a game, Trey Blanford. First one in there again. I mean, this kid is, at least so far through the first 8 minutes here, just off to a terrific start.
He's got two tackles for a loss already. Ball back across the stripe of the 50 to the 49. It'll be second and 11. For Notre Dame, no score here. 6:50 mark of the opening quarter. Snap to Brim. He play actions. He looks downfield. He's pressured. He escapes Trey Blanford. Here comes a flag. Way downfield to throw as a receiver. Well, we've got a defender falls. The Rock comes up with an interception as the receiver, Ross, tried to come back to the ball, and he slipped. It's so picked off by Kyle Hall, but we've got a flag down.
It's a flag.
Here.
It's going to be holding against Notre Dame, and then Brim just threw a duck downfield, and it just fluttered the whole way. And Kyle Hall was able to basically just play center field and stay camped out underneath it and come away with the interception.
So let's see what they do here because this was obviously during the play.
Well, you want the interception.
And you'll take the interception inside the 10-yard line.
Decline the penalty and get the ball to your offense.
Here's the call, and it is just that. Glenn called it right. It is a hold against Notre Dame. The Rock going to come away with the interception. A lot of things were happening. It was like dominoes falling back as that ball was kind of thrown straight up in the air. And Ross had to come all the way from the goal line out to near the 10. And as he tried to get there, he slipped. It set up Kyle Hall with the interception. And The Rock comes away with the first turnover of the day. No score, 6:41 mark.
There's a big difference between run blocking and pass blocking. This offensive line for Notre Dame is great at run blocking, maybe not so much at pass blocking. They're having a hard time keeping a clean pocket.
So we'll come back out with Wes Hills in the backfield for The Rock. And Roland Rivers will be in the pistol. It's going to be a handoff to Wes. He's got a big hole. He's going to run for a first down and more, and still on his feet across the 20, 25, 30. Kicking to the outside, 40, 50. Still down the sideline, inside Notre Dame territory. He's got it down inside the 40. They're going to say right about the 38-yard line, a big first down carry for number 4.
They actually do a counter play to the left side of the line, and then the rest of it is just up the field vision by Wes Hills to get upfield. Real quick, too, behind the play, Henry Litwin did get tripped up a little bit. He's gimping just a bit, but he is going to stay in the game.
And that run will give Wes Hills the all-time single-season rushing mark. He takes it away from Lamont Coleman, who gave him a call this week to wish him well. How about that? First and 10, Slippery Rock. Play action. Roland Rivers the third. Drops back. He's looking. He's got a lot of time. Now he has to roll out as a...
Get rid of it.
Blocker got away from Steve Gavigli, and he's still running around and still on his feet. Gets back to the original line of scrimmage. Down the sideline, he's going to pick up yardage on that. He probably should have thrown it away, but he does work part of yardage. That's the danger that number 14 can bring.
Not probably. He should have gotten rid of that ball. I mean, I know it worked out, and they got 9 yards out of it, but, man, that never should have happened. Smart thing to do there is throw the ball away. But, hey, that talks about the competitive spirit of Roland Rivers and just how much of a gamer he is.
So following up the 53-yard run, you've got a 9-yard carry by Roland Rivers. It's second and one.
Take a shot here on the march. Second and short.
They're at the 29-yard line. Here's the snap. It's a rollout, and he keeps it, and he runs it up. He's got the first down, spins to the 27-yard line. They may even say he got to the 26. So Roland Rivers spins up. He took a pretty good hit there in the upper thigh hair, hip area, but he got the first down.
Yeah, nice keeper by Rivers because you had a linebacker out there on the play and went straight to Wes Hills on the option. So Rivers reads that defender, keeps the ball, gets upfield, and gets the first down.
So Wes Hills needed 42 yards coming in to get that record. He got 53 on one play. First and 10. Here's the drop back. Rivers has time, throws it to Henry Litwin. He pulls it in. He's inside the 20, tackled at the 19, a gain of 7. Now, with that in check, Wes only needed at that point around 30 yards because of the opening drive.
Second time they've done that to Henry Litwin on the outside, so that tells me it's man coverage on the outside, and they are giving him a ton of cushion because if all Roland Rivers is doing is getting the ball and just turning and firing, they might try to get these corners to cheat up a little bit more towards the line of scrimmage and then pop one over top.
Second and 3 from the 19, The Rock in the red zone. Here's the play action again, and it's a throw to the outside. Hit as he grabs the ball, and I don't think he held on.
No, he dropped it.
That's Dakota Clanigan. Just couldn't hold on. It was good defensive pursuit that time.
Oh, yeah, the hit got there right as the ball did, so really nicely timed hit and separates the receiver from the ball.
So this drive all set up by Kyle Hall's sixth interception of the year. It'll be 3rd and 3. Back-to-back incompletions now. And we've got on the field right now Austin Scott near side, Jermaine Wynn. Top side is Clanigan and Henry Litwin. In the pistol. No, moving into the shotgun is Rivers. He's looking for the end zone. He throws, has a man. It's Austin Scott. One arms it, can't bring it in. That one just let him a bit too much. He almost made a nice grab, and that is an incompletion again. It'll be 4th and 3, and here comes Jake Chapla on to kick a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, a really promising drive. Unfortunate that they're not going to be able to punch it in, but you can get 3 points here. Another thing to keep in mind or point out here, Derek Broomfield, number 94, he's a starting defensive end. He's on the sideline with his jersey off right now, getting some attention from the medical staff. So he came out a couple snaps ago. We'll see what happens there.
Far hash, that's the Slippery Rock sideline, 37-yard attempt. Mike Marhat the hold. Here's the kick. It's up. It's long enough. Does it go through? It does. Slippery Rock takes a 3-0 lead at the 4:02 mark of this opening quarter. We'll take a commercial break. Be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to Slippery Rock University football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Just when you thought you had your best deal,
it's Troy, the deal-making man.
The deal-making man assures you have your absolute best deal on every new and used Troy Allen Chevrolet Buick and GMC. The deal-making mugs are here. Get yours now and receive an additional $200 off your next deal. At Troy Allen, we're good to the last deal.
The deal-making man saved us thousands.
Meet the real deal-making man today at Troy Allen Chevrolet Buick and GMC in Slippery Rock.
Hey, this is Sean Lutz. You're listening to Slippery Rock University football on the Rock Station 977.
7 plays, 71 yards in 2 minutes 39 seconds. This all set up by a Kyle Hall interception, and the Rock puts it through with a Jake Chapla 37-yard field goal. They take an early 3-0 lead here at the 4:02 mark of the opening quarter. So good drive, struck up big time by a 53-yard run by Wes Hills, who now is the all-time leader in the single-season rushing department at Slippery Rock University.
Again, that play, a counter to the left side of the line. He gets through the hole upfield, and then the rest of it was just his vision. He actually cut that the whole way back toward the right side, towards the Slippery Rock sideline, and did the rest of the work himself.
So we'll get ready for the kickoff here, and Wes Hills with 66 yards on the day in three series. Notre Dame running back, you know, McLaughlin with 28 so far in two. And here's a kick by Chaplin on the kickoff. It'll send it into the end zone. It'll be a touchback. And Notre Dame will start out first and 10 at the 25. Now, Coach Sean Lutz said, take a look at the end of the day, who has the better running stats. He thinks that's going to determine today's winner. We have to agree with him because these are two prolific running backs, and so far the Rock has put up 3 points.
Well, I'll take a couple more of those 53-yarders by Wes Hills throughout the rest of those rest of the game here. You know,
this is what, if you look at what the Falcons have done all season long, they're an undefeated team. They're the number one team in the Super Region 1. Very good year for them, and this is something they have done all year. When you look at that drive that Slippery Rock put together, 7 plays, 71 yards, they have limited people to either nothing or 3 points many times. Here's the snap now. McLaughlin takes the handoff. He's going to try to stretch it. Now he goes up the middle, and he's got some running room, but he's hit by Kyle Hall as he gets to the 30-yard line, so he'll pick up 5 on that. He worked about 12 yards to get that.
Just to go back to your comment real quick, you know, that's the thing about where we're at now, playing football this late in the season, is that neither of these teams got here by mistake. You know, like, these two teams have earned their way to play a 14th game. So, obviously, this is a good opponent and a really good football team.
And it's going to be a great matchup. Already is for this first quarter. 2nd and 5 now, and they'll hand it off to McLaughlin again. He's got a hole, and he avoids the tackle. He's got running room, and he's got one man to beat. But Kyle Hall is going to drag him and slow him down, coming in on the backside to help K.D. Roberts. But he got into that secondary, and this shows you how dangerous he is. He gets the ball into Rock territory, down to the 35-yard line, just like that.
Yeah, and both of the defenders, as they're coming in there to make the tackle, trying to really rip that ball out of there and force a fumble. Unable to do so, though, but big gainer.
35-yard carry for McLaughlin down to the 35, and he'll take it again. He goes into the pile. He avoids Trey Blanford, but the rest of the green and white crew were there to help as a lot of scrapping goes on after the play, but that goes for no gain.
It's actually number 36 in there.
Oh, they transitioned after the
– McLaughlin goes getting a little bit of a breather.
Sean Davis, who's their junior running back who has 6 touchdowns. He's kind of the primary backup. They'll use 4 or 5 different backs, so he spells after the big carry but goes for no gain.
Much bigger than McLaughlin.
Here's the handoff. No, it's a play fake across the middle. Hit is Zaire Mitchell, and he comes down. That's the big tight end. Talk about a big guy, 6'7", 240-pound sophomore out of Rockville, Maryland, and he moves the chains. That's a first down grab of 15.
Boy, did Brim really hold that exchange between running back quarterback for as long as he could, and then finally pulls it away from the back and fires over the middle.
First and 10 now. The response by the Falcons, moving down to the Rock, 21. Double receivers set up top. Now here's a handoff. And this one's going to be no gain. McLaughlin comes back into the game, I believe. Let's sort that out. Yeah, he did come back in, but he actually lost a yard. I didn't see. Was Tristan McDonald in on that again?
Tristan McDonald, yep.
So 3 tackles for a loss if that was given to Tristan McDonald.
They're trying a little bit of a zone stretch there to the right side, and because of that, as a defender, you can read it because the blocking is going to be set up a very specific way whenever they come off the line of scrimmage. So McDonald reads it and gets to the gap, fills it, and makes the tackle.
2nd and 11 now from the 22, minute 37 to go in the opening quarter. Here's a handoff, McLaughlin. He's got running room right up the hole. He's running for the end zone, and he's going to get there. 22-yard scamper by Jaleel McLaughlin, and he shows why he's a Harlan Hill candidate. And he gets the lead now for Notre Dame as he goes in from 22 and makes it 6-3.
I mean, right up the gut, Bob. Nothing fancy about that play. That was just straight up the middle off the center. And as soon as he got into the secondary, he was gone as the blocking downfield was really well set up by the wide receivers and tight ends.
Well, you got to talk about their center, too, senior Austin Treneff. He's from Columbus, Ohio, and he was a Upshaw candidate. For linemen. Here's the extra point try. It's up, and it's good. Harding puts it through, and Notre Dame, with a minute 28 to go in the opening quarter, has taken a 7-3 lead here in this NCAA Division II quarterfinal game. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
A rock-solid education is a critical step in achieving life's goals. Choose from programs that lead to exciting careers in health, science, engineering, technology, business, communication, education, or the performing arts. With over 150 undergraduate majors and 30 graduate programs, Slippery Rock University has been the best choice, first choice, of students across the nation for 125 years. Slippery Rock University. Experience the difference. Learn more about SRU's innovative, flexible, and affordable programs by visiting sru.edu.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station, 97.7.
Well, after opening the game with three punts, two by the Rock, one by Notre Dame, then an interception by Kyle Hall, the Rock would take a 3-0 lead on a Jake Chapla field goal, but right back at him, Notre Dame puts a six-play, 75-yard drive together. Jaleel McLaughlin takes it in from 22 yards out, and Notre Dame now leads this playoff game 7-3 with the Rock getting set for the kickoff here. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7. Bob Cupp, Glenn Thompson with you here today from South Euclid, Ohio, just outside. It's a suburb of Cleveland.
Defenses were really strong the first few series, but then the last two times these teams had the ball, the offense was moving.
Mark Carter has to run up to the 13 to take the kick, and he's off to the races and across the 20. Is brought down near the 30. It'll be about the 28-yard line, 27-yard line, somewhere in that vicinity, where the Rock will start out first and 10 with a minute 22 in this opening quarter remaining.
Yeah, really high fluttering kick, and I think just Carter was having a hard time gathering that one in and trying to track down where it was going to come down.
So the Rock will come back out with Wes Hills and Roland Rivers III leading the charge, number 14 and number 4 in the backfield. Austin Scott going to be split wide to the near side. That's the Notre Dame sideline. You've got Henry Litwin alone up top, and we're going to bring Jake Zerillo out. Or Zach Zerillo. I don't know why I keep calling him Jake. Zach Zerillo, number 18, first and 10. And here's a handoff, Wes Hills, and he's got running room, and he's going to go for at least seven as he dives up over the 35 to the 38-yard line.
He's going to be just short of the first down. I think it's going to be second and about a half a yard. You know my play call here on this second and short. Take a shot deep, especially with Wes Hills. You know that if you can take a shot deep and if it's incomplete, you know Wes Hills will get you the yard you need on third down.
Yeah, he got that 1 yard, or he got 9 yards. And here's a throw across the middle, inside out. Henry Litwin got hit early by the defender, and that's Jeffrey Thomas, but there's no flag, and he couldn't rein it in.
I'll be honest, I thought it looked like a pretty good play. Maybe a half a second early, but I thought it was bang-bang enough to warrant no call.
So it'll be a third and one now. Just looked like he might have got wrapped up a pinch early, but it was close. And I like it when they don't make the call. I'd rather have, let's play the game. Here's a handoff, Wes Hills. He's got that first down, dives across the 40, just puts two arms around the ball and punches it to the 41-yard line.
Yeah, that's why you throw the ball on second down and short, because you know that, okay, on third down, if we don't get it, I mean, Wes will get us the half yard that we need.
Clock turns to 41 seconds remaining in this opening quarter. 7-3 in favor of Notre Dame. But the Rock on the move with a first and 10 at their own 41. Roland Rivers throws. He dumps it low, and diving for it is Henry Litwin. Did he come up with it? He did. He'll get a nice 5 yards out of that. Boy, that was thrown right to the turf, and somehow Henry got hands under the ball.
Yeah, and they continue to be so far off the line of scrimmage against Henry Litwin. I mean, they must really be concerned about his deep ball ability, that they'll keep chunking away at those screens underneath all day.
Second and 5 from the Rock 46-yard line now. And it'll be a trio of receivers to the near side. Austin Scott, Henry Litwin, and Jermaine Wynn. And here's a handoff to Wes, and he goes into that pile that closes quickly. And he'll get about a half a yard, nothing more out of that. It'll be 3rd and 5. And that'll do the first quarter in as the clock winds to 0. And it's a thriller, as you would expect here in Ohio. First quarter in the books, 3 to go, and it's Notre Dame 7, Slippery Rock 3. We'll be back with second half action, or second quarter action, in a moment. Listening to Rock Football here on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Mark and Jared, those fix anything car and truck guys at Lutz Automotive in Slippery
Rock, second one ready,
would like
and
to
I'll
wish
let you
everyone
know
a safe and happy holiday season. They thank you for your patronage and would love to earn your business in the coming year. 1 mile north of Branston Road on Route 8, you can count on Lutz for everything from minor to major repairs, and they specialize in VW and Subaru timing belts at great low rates. Call Lutz Automotive today, 724-794-2255.
Hi, this is Tavar Sample, safety, Slippery Rock University, and you're tuned in 97.7 for Rock Football.
Well, we come back here to open up the second quarter of action, 3rd and 5 at the Rock 46. They're moving the ball. Now they'll be moving left to right as we change the course. Didn't have to march very far for that. But 7-3 the score here, Notre Dame in the lead.
Starting to see these offenses figure some things out as they're both moving the ball. Again, we're early in that first quarter, the defenses were making some really good plays, making it tough, but now these offenses starting to figure some stuff out.
Well, let's see if the Rock can figure out a third down conversion here. Third and five. Here's the handoff to Wes Hills. He goes into that pile, and he carries it for the five. Oh, interesting spot here.
Yeah,
they
short.
May be saying he's short. His knee went down about a half yard shy of the first down.
You go for it. I mean, listen, you don't get to this point with Wes Hills doing what he's done all year and not give it to him whenever you need, what, the length of a football? Yeah, you're feeding four here.
You needed five. You got four, maybe a little bit beyond four. But it will be a fourth down. They are going to go for it here in midfield. Leading Notre Dame leading 7-3. The Rock trying to get the first down. Roland Rivers in the shotgun. And he will hand it off to Wes Hills. He dives into the pile, and he didn't make it. No gain. The Rock going to turn it over on downs.
Well, let's see. I mean, they still have to spot it officially. And this might be worth a measure. Boy, is it close.
Oh, yeah, the way they spotted it, Glenn, I didn't think they would honestly give him that far.
Yeah,
they're
going to
measure this. So let's back up for a moment here. I think that's a pretty generous spot from where I can see here on this near hash.
From what I could tell, though, Bob, whenever he went into the pile there first, I don't think he ever touched the turf. I think he was on top of players. And so that second effort, I don't think he was down before that.
Boy, that middle of that pile just blew up underneath him, and he stayed high, fortunately. So let's see. Here's the important measurement. Will it be a turnover on downs or a first down? Slippery Rock. Here's the stretch. Oh, he just
short.
Missed it by inches. Just misses it by inches. Notre Dame going to get the ball back at midfield.
Yeah, I mean, by, geez, because we had a really good look at it here. Honestly, Bob, probably by, what, 2 inches?
Oh, barely, barely.
Man, just
and I thought it was a good spot, a favorable spot to help the Rock, but no good. So they go for it and turn it over at the 49-yard line of Notre Dame, and that's where the Falcons will start out. Now you need your defense to really step up big here.
Well, I don't hate the play call. I totally agreed with going for it there, just unable to convert.
So here's Notre Dame College now. Brim will be in the pistol, and he's got a sidecar of Davis. And he's going big down the sideline, a good battle going, but Ross on the outside, it's incomplete. He was battling there with KD Roberts, and they went big, but that one was thrown out of bounds.
We got a flag that came in from the Notre Dame sideline. It's down here at the 36.
A little battle on the bottom end here. You got Eric Glover Williams up against Andrew Tursky, or is this a sideline warning?
Holding.
It is holding. So they call Eric Glover Williams completely opposite side of the field on a hold. The play was to the Rock sideline. This is called on the Notre Dame sideline. So the first penalty of the day goes against Slippery Rock as a defensive holding. Now, this is their first penalty. There have been three by Notre Dame.
I mean, hey, holding is holding. If the ball had not been thrown yet, it's whether it's away from the action or not. But it's just usually you see the official just keep that one in the pocket if it's on the other side of the field.
Now here's a play action to the outside, and Zaire Mitchell, that big tight end, he breaks a tackle. He's down the sideline. He's got a first down, and he's inside the 25.
All right, now you're going to see Notre Dame with a little bit of tempo. They're going to get to the line quickly, and they got a little momentum going here offensively. So Rock defense been really good all year at kind of that bend-not-break mentality. Got to keep them out of the end zone here.
Gain of 16 to the big tight end. And it's first and 10 at the 25 for Notre Dame. McLaughlin sidecar left. And he's going to take. Nope, it's a play action again, and they dump it off. Near side, it looked like it might have hit the turf. No, it didn't. It was scooped up by number 24, Marcus Hood. And he got a hand underneath that somehow. And it's going to be down to the 20-yard line, a gain of five.
Yeah, just a quick out from the slot receiver and, obviously, they want that ball a little bit higher, more on the numbers, so the receiver can try to extend and get the first down. But nice job either way of getting his hands underneath it and completing the catch.
Notre Dame leading 7-3 here. They'll have a second and five on the Rock 20. Here's Brim. And this time he hands it off to McLaughlin, and a tackle missed by Tim Suave. But he struggled to get across the 20, down to the 19, maybe the 18. He'll pick up a couple. Suave almost got him in the backfield.
But that's enough to make the play. Whenever he's in there and he's disruptive, now all of a sudden McLaughlin has to slow down a little bit. He's not running full speed. And because of that, the rest of the defense has a chance to catch up and make the tackle.
And he doesn't get a first down as a result. It'll be third and three after the two-yard carry. 3 yards to go for a first down. Here's the snap, and it's going to be a little trickery as McLaughlin takes the handoff, pitches it to Ross. Ross has got running room before Tristan McDonald comes in on the backside and tackles him, but not before he's inside the five, and that's where they'll probably spot the ball, right inside the five-yard line. So McLaughlin takes the handoff, and on the end around comes Ross. He takes the pitch, gets it first and goal.
And I'll be honest, I've been really thinking that the officiating crew has done a good job so far today, but the referee right in front of him missed a block in the back, because as the ball came back towards the near sideline, one of the offensive linemen clearly right in the back on the numbers put a Slippery Rock player on the turf. So missed call.
First and goal at the 4 yard line for Notre Dame. McLaughlin, sidecar left to Brim. He's going to take the handoff, look for the end. Nope, it's going to be a keeper by Brim as he faked the handoff, and he's actually going to lose a yard as a result. He faked the handoff, kept it himself, but had nowhere to go. And he's brought down by Eric Glover Williams that time.
And how important is it to have corners who can tackle? You know, especially against a team that likes to run the football. If you can have your corners involved and make tackles on the outside, that's such a benefit.
A loss of one back to the five. It'll be second and goal. McLaughlin will have sidecar left now with double receivers up top. He takes the snap. He hands it off. No, he play actions, and he throws, and it's caught in the end zone. He did a play action and throws it inside to Andrew Tursky, who pulls it in for the five-yard touchdown.
RPO, and then from the left side, they bring the slot receiver on the slant right into the middle, and just not very well defended, and easy pitch and catch.
So a five-yard touchdown pass from Brim puts Notre Dame College up by 10 now with the extra point to come. 13-3 the score at the 11:20 mark of the second quarter. Short field drive, and Notre Dame took advantage of it. So the Rock turning it over on downs, and Notre Dame College putting 7 on the board. Here's the extra point try. The kick is up and good. And Notre Dame College now takes a 14-3 lead. We'll return with the kickoff. The Rock gets the ball back in a moment on Slippery Rock University Football, the Rock Station, 97.7.
In today's world, expert legal advice is an absolute must. The law offices of Dillon, McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham have been protecting their clients in personal injury, corporate and business law, real estate, wills, plus labor and employment law for years. The legal world is no place to go it alone. Call the offices of Dillon, McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, conveniently located in Butler, Cranberry, and Saxonburg.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station, 97.7.
And we're back here at Muller Field, Notre Dame College in Ohio, and the Rock now falling behind by 11. 14-3, a six-play, 50-yard drive in just under 3 minutes. Andrew Tursky receives a reception touchdown pass from number 18, Chris Brim, the redshirt freshman quarterback for Notre Dame. So the Rock going to have to get back to work here.
Yeah, they're going to need some points because right now the Notre Dame offense is firing in all cylinders. So not to say that the defense can't come up with a stop, but the offense has got to add some points here.
Here's the kickoff from Harding, and it's going to go to Jermaine Wynn at his 2 yard line. And he's going to come across field, right across the 5, now turn it upfield to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, puts a head down, and he's going to be diving to about the 32, 33-yard line where Slippery Rock will start out first and 10. I think they're going to spot this, looks like, Glenn, right at the 32.
Nice job. I mean, really nice return because, let's be honest, the blocking wasn't really there. It was more set up on the side of the field where he finished. So he had a long way to run just to get behind his blockers, and once he did, was able to get a good return out of it.
He had to really stretch that out because the blocking, he needed to go find it up top side, and he ran just about the entire length of the football field sideways in order to turn that up. So he probably ran a good 50 to get 31. Here's the snap. It's going to be a play-action pass. Throw to the near side. Henry Litwin catches it, bobbles it, holds on, now spins. He's got a first down. That spin got him the first down. He caught it right about the 9-yard mark. and then spun through to get the first down.
Simple little out pattern. And this time they try to get the defender to think Litwin's going deep, get him to turn his hips, and all of a sudden Litwin just cuts it out towards the sideline, and Roland Rivers puts a nice ball right on the numbers.
Yeah, and he bobbled it for a moment but moved it on for 13 yards to the 45. Roland Rivers the third in the pistol. He takes the snap. Play action again. Throws it. He catches Mike Merhot, and he goes across the 50 into Notre Dame territory down to the 49-yard line, a gain of six.
Positive yardage on first down, doing it through the air or on the ground. I don't care. Just get yardage on first down and, you know, make it manageable for yourself. And now on a second and four, you have the entire playbook available to you.
Second and four. And now it'll be sidecar left is Wes Hills to Roland Rivers the third. Trip receivers up top, and he's looking that way. It's a screen almost picked up. Then it bobbled. It's knocked into the air, and Jermaine Wynn catches it, pulls it down. He's going to get a first down out of it. That easily could have been a pick six. It was knocked up in the air and right back to Jermaine Wynn.
I just don't think the defender was looking for it until the last second. He read the play really well and was getting up there to make the tackle. Didn't realize that the ball was coming right for his helmet.
So the Rock avoids danger there and gets a first down as a result. Down to the 39-yard line. Jermaine Wynn for 10. Here's the snap to Rivers. He's looking downfield. He's going to throw downfield. He has a man breaking, and it's picked off. Picked off by Davion Johnson. Inside the, well, right at the 5-yard line. Rivers just threw that a hair underneath, and yep, it allowed the defender to come over and pick it off.
Yeah, because Austin Scott was behind the defense. I mean, he had an easy walk-in touchdown. It's just that the ball was underthrown, and that allowed the safety to get over there and make the interception. If Roland Rivers steps into that one a little bit more, puts a little bit more airtime on it, that's easy 6 points.
But instead, Notre Dame will take back over inside the 5-yard line with a 14-3 lead at the 9:39 mark of this second quarter, and the quarterbacks on both sides now have had a pick. And first and 10, here comes Brim with McLaughlin. It'll be McLaughlin looking to go somewhere, and he goes nowhere. He's driven backward after no gain.
You know, I feel like the run up the middle for Notre Dame today has been feast or famine. Either it's been a loss of one, or they've ripped off some 20, 30-yard runs.
So it'll be second down and 10. Jeff Marks is who he ran into, the redshirt freshman who has been dynamic this year. Second and 10. We were talking about that on the way over. Could Jeff Marks have a game today against a trophy nominee? And here's a handoff to McLaughlin again, and no gain again. He tried to stretch that this time from kind of inside out, and it goes nowhere. It'll be third and 10.
Here you go. Big opportunity now because you have a obvious passing situation and deep in their own territory. So, I mean, I'm hoping that they're dialing up at least one blitzer, maybe two, to come after Brim on this third and long.
You always have to watch the outside, though. That's where the wide receiver, junior wide receiver, Marvell Ross, who has 1,000 yards this year, is always lurking. Third and 10.
Looks like they got Dalton Holt just shadowing a little bit over top, as it's Glover Williams on him on the outside, but Dalton is on that side of the field.
You've got trip receivers to the Notre Dame sideline. And here we go. Here's the snap, and it's play action. Brim looks to throw it inside. Caught from the backside by Marcus Hood, and I think he got the first down. Boy, what a great grab. That ball thrown behind him. Somehow he was able to reach back and pull it in.
Well, it was a little bit behind him because, really, that was the only window for Brim to fit the ball into. I mean, he threaded the needle on that throw. It was a good-looking throw and then an even better catch.
And the catch is good for 13. They needed 10. And it's first down, Falcons. Brim calls the play. Now he's going to change it up and does the check with me to the sideline. McLaughlin now will shift actually behind Brim, who will go to the pistol. Nope, they're going to go back to the original formation. And he'll be sidecar left, and he's going to take a handoff. And he's got a hole, but it's closed up by number 57, Tristan McDonald, who I believe now unofficially will have his fourth tackle for a loss on the day.
Yeah, Tristan has been in the backfield consistently. And, I mean, I talked about him on the way over here as well. I said I really like the game of Tristan McDonald, what he's done, the developments that he's made this year, and just shows right there. So he's able to burst through the line and get another tackle for loss, minus two.
He, yes, takes it back to a second and 12 to the 16-yard line. Now they will spell McLaughlin with Vashawn Davis in the backfield, and it's Davis. No play action, and here's a hit, and it's number 87 who they hit early out of the gate, Connor Henry, and he pulls it in. He moves the chains across the 31. He picks up a 15-yard gain.
RPO slant. Does that sound familiar? Because that's just what they scored the touchdown on last time they were down here. So, obviously, they like what they see in that matchup, in that play call against this Rock defense. And if you go back a few weeks, Bob, California ran that play quite a bit against this Rock defense.
What really impresses you about the Falcons is their team speed. They are fast.
Yes.
First and 10 now. Here's play action again, and they're going to throw it to the outlet on the slot play to the near side, and that's Marcus Hood, and he'll pick up yardage across the 35 to the 36. Looks like that'll be a five-yard grab.
Interesting, too, that they're really attacking through the air right now. You know, a team that has primarily been a run-first team all season, really trying to get after this Rock defense with the aerial attack.
Chris Brim throwing for 2,100 yards this year, but that's not a lot of their forte. Here's now snapping. It's a hit inside of Ishaan Davis, and it looks like he'll get a yard on that carry. It'll set up a third down and about four after the one-yard grab.
Got a Rock player down. A little slow to get up. Trying to see the number there. It's Zach Bader, number 94. So he's going to come off, and Tim Suave will come on.
So it'll be a third and three for Notre Dame after the one-yard carry. And back in the backfield is McLaughlin. He'll be sidecar left. Double receivers up top for Brim. Here's the snap. And he's going to drop back to pass on third down. And he's going to be hit and sacked.
Oh, man. And the, oh, geez, the tackle.
Tim Suave.
Their left tackle got rolled up on. That was ugly. Oh, man.
Tim Suave, we bumped into his father on the way over. It's his birthday, so his son got him a sack for his birthday today. Big sack, though, for Suave, but we do have a Notre Dame defender down, as Glenn mentioned, and it did not look good, so this might take a little bit as he is holding his knee.
When Suave tackled Brim, the action took it backwards right into the side of the left tackle's knee, Brandon Nicholson, and he got rolled up on pretty bad.
We'll take a commercial break here and come back with the punt situation as Tim Suave comes up with a big play here. Tim Suave out of Dobbs Ferry, New York. And as I mentioned, we ran into his dad on the trip out here. He said in 16 years of watching his son play, he's never missed a football game. He's here today. So happy birthday to Mr. Suave. And his son rolls up the sack here. And we'll certainly have concern for the player as they address him here on the field. One of the linemen down for Notre Dame. So, yep, they're going to get him up. They're going to pop him up. We'll keep it here for the moment. But he is hobbled. That's number 79, Brandon Nicholson. He's a sophomore out of Bedford, Ohio, which is right down the street here. And he's walking off under his own power right now. So, okay, that's a little more
6 foot three, 320 pounds. He's a little bit bigger than you and I.
Oh, my.
Combined.
These are not small kids. So that's good to see. He comes off under his own power now. And we'll monitor his progression. But it's a punting situation after the Suave sack. And so back deep will be Jermaine Wynn. He'll be standing at his 24. And it's Tanner Harding, the punter. He's
big
averaging
stop.
31 yards per punt.
Big stop for the defense to be able to get off the field now and get the ball back to the offense.
And you got a potential to get maybe good field position here. Here's the snap. Oh, it comes off the turf. Harding runs around and is able to get it away. A great athletic move. And it's going to take a Notre Dame bounce. It hit about the 39, rolls to about the 35. He spun out of that almost like we saw a couple of weeks ago, a punter do, and amazingly get the punt off as he just spun around and nobody was there and went to the opposite side and got the punt away.
Well, it's always amazing, too, and you better believe that special teams coaches will practice this with their punters. But so remember, in college football, as soon as your knee is down with the ball, you're down. So those punters who can gather up the ball without going down to a knee to get it, I mean, that's huge because that still allows him to keep the play alive and get the punt downfield.
So the Rock will start out first and 10, trailing 14-3, 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Roland Rivers III in the pistol, and he's going to hand it off to Wes Hills, and Wes is going to go into the pile. He avoids a tackle, got hit initially at the line, and is able to power forward to the 38 for three.
Big 3 yards because, as you called it there, Bob, I mean, that should have been a loss of one, maybe a no gainer, and you end up getting 3 yards out of it. So I know 3 yards isn't a ton, but compared to the other result, we'll take it.
Still no rain, but it is knocking on the door here. Second and seven, so if the Rock is going to get back into this, they got to get something through the air now before that rain starts. It looks like there's a lot of rain coming our way. Second and seven. Here's the snap. Rivers looks to throw. It's Lidwin. He catches it. He's hit, and he gets out of an ankle tackle enough to get across the 45 to the 46. He's going to gain 8 on the play when he was hit at about 4 yards in.
Great recognition by Roland Rivers. They brought the corner fire blitz, and so that means that the safety had to try to get over there in time to make the stop on Litwin. Rivers sees the blitz, throws to where the blitzer came from, and they get the first down.
First and 10 at the 46 for the Rock. Rivers drops back. He's got a lot of time. He's going to step up, and he's going to kick it to the outside and run. And there comes some Notre Dame defenders. He'll pick up one on the carry as the play was breaking down quickly as a result of good coverage downfield.
Yeah, more than anything else, that's a coverage sack. I mean, it's not a sack. You got a yard. But, yeah, the coverage downfield, there's just nowhere for Rivers to go with that ball. And Smartly just tries to get some type of positive yardage on the play.
Notice the flags at half-staff today in memory of the late President George Herbert Walker Bush, who passed away late last night. Second and 9. Here's the snap to Rivers. Out of the pistol, he hands off. West Hills has running room for a first down and more across the 40-yard line. Down to the 38. He's into Notre Dame territory.
He pushed Mike Murat to the ground. He stiff-armed his own guy to get him out of the way. gets the first down yardage. West Hills is just a man among boys sometimes, the way that he runs the football and how strong he is.
He gets into Notre Dame territory, first and 10 at the 38. Now into the shotgun is Rivers. He's going to go play action. He pumps. Now he wants to throw long. He's got Mike Murat, who pulls it in. First down at the 15-yard line.
What a job by Murat to hold on to that ball. Two defenders converged on him at the same time. He took a shot, and he holds on to it. Nice job by Murat. Great hands.
23-yard grab, and Mike is going to take a breather because, yeah, as you said, he took that pop. But it's first down inside the 15 for Slippery Rock, trailing 14-3, 3 minutes to go in the half. Now we're going to go with a double receiver look on the top side. Henry Litton alone on the near side, that near side being Notre Dame's sideline. Roland Rivers' sidecar left his Hills. Here's the snap. Rivers drops back. He wants the end zone. Now he'll look the other way, and he'll run. And he's got to tuck it in and get it across the 10. Boy, he had that hanging there for like a loaf of bread for a moment. But he gets across the 10 to the 9. He'll pick up 5 on that first down carry.
Sometimes I feel like Roland Rivers forgets the check down. If he would have looked at West Hills, he was by himself. All he had to do was just float it right over the line of scrimmage. West would have had it and probably would have had a touchdown.
So it'll be 2nd and 5 from the 9. The Rock can get a first down inside the 5-yard line. Wes Hills back in the backside of Rivers, who's now the pistol. They fake the handoff, and he does a rollout, dumps it into the end zone. It's Jermaine Wynn. He's got it for a touchdown. Slippery Rock University from 9 yards out. Roland Rivers the third to Jermaine Wynn Jr.
What a throw by Roland Rivers, getting that over top of the coverage and still inbounds for Jermaine Wynn to gather that one in. Really nice touch pass by Rivers to float that one in there on the corner of the side, or the corner of the end zone.
So the Rock cuts the Notre Dame lead to 14-9 with Jake Chapla on for the extra point attempt. And Chapla out of the hold of Mike Murat from the center of the field here as the rain begins to fall. Here's the snap. It's a good one, and it's up. The kick is good, and the Rock has cut the lead to 14-10. 2:06 to go. We've got a timeout on the field. We take a break to let you hear from one of the Rock sponsors of Rock Football here on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
You knew it was coming. You knew the shorter daylight hours, the cold winds blowing. You knew it was coming. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, Corks Lane, just off of Christ Road. Butler has partnered up with Diamond Crystal to bring you the very best anti-icers and de-icers. No worries about pets if you use the green mill. Keeps those paws safe and temps down to 10 below. Of new concrete, then you'll want the flash melt. The Jiffy Melt Mix is a mixture of the green melt and rock salt. Diamond Crystal Salts and Negley's, the dynamic duo. Call Negley's now, 724-282-6160. Reserve your salts now.
I'm Kyle Hall, also known as OG, playing DB for Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football. Go Rock.
I'm Jake Chapla, kicker here at Slippery Rock, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
Back here at 2:06 to go in the second quarter, first and 10. Will be the call when Notre Dame gets the kick, but they'll have an opportunity with 2 minutes to try to extend their lead. But the Rock cuts into it. 7 plays, 65 yards. Roland Rivers the third hitting Jermaine Wynn Jr. for a 9-yard strike. And, Glenn, both scores now for the Rock have been set up by a big defensive play from Slippery Rock. A Kyle Hall interception, a Tim Suave sack, and that's kept the Rock in the game with these big plays. Here's the boot now, and it's going to be a squibber kind of bouncing around, and it's picked up by the return man, and I believe that is
McLaughlin.
Is it McLaughlin out there? Jaleel McLaughlin. I was kind of surprised to see him, but he's out there, and they're putting some speed on the field, no doubt. And he gets across the 20 out to about the 28-yard line, I believe.
Keep in mind, Notre Dame will start the third quarter with the ball, so you cannot give up any points here at the end of this first half. You got to come away with a stop.
And maybe the reasoning for the kind of bouncing kick there was because they saw number 20 out there. Didn't want to kick it directly to him, give him some running room to start. But it'll be first and 10 at the 28-yard line. McLaughlin will be sidecar right. Notre Dame leading 14-10. They've got the ball. And it's McLaughlin with a handoff. He's got a hole, and he gets out of a tackle of Tim Suave. But Suave ain't enough to slow him down there. Or yeah. No, that's not Suave. That's Jeff Marks. I'm sorry. He got a hand on him and slowed him down. And he had a nice hole there. So Jeff coming in on the backside. It's a gain of 7. Could have been a lot more.
Could have been a lot more. That could have been a monster gainer. So we'll take the 7 yards.
Out to the 35. Clock turning. A minute 35. McLaughlin again. He hesitates, and he's going to be hit as a result. Looks like Tim Vernick came in on that play. Tackled him for a loss. It'll be back across the 35 to the 34.
Interesting, too, that on a possession to end out the half here that you've seen Notre Dame run the ball twice in a row. Doesn't seem like they're in any real rush to try to get some points here.
And McLaughlin will come off, be spelled by Vishon Davis on 3rd and 4. And Brim now going to do the check with me to the sideline. Chris Brim, 6'1", 205-pound redshirt freshman quarterback out of Tallahassee, Florida. He'll take the snap and play action and has his man. It's caught, and it's going to be a first down. Pulled in again by the one guy we've not been able to stop a whole lot today. That's Connor Henry.
Man, he took a pop. It's just we've seen some really good hands by these both receivers from both sides. I mean, the ability to hold on to the ball through contact.
14-yard grab. First and 10, 35 seconds remaining. Play action, Brim. Here comes pressure. He avoids it. Now steps out and rolls. Now he throws downfield. Has a man wide open. It's caught and going to be taken in by Ross for a touchdown. Somebody allowed Ross to get behind him at the last second. Brim saw it and throws it for a 52-yard strike.
I mean, there is two guys on the field on that play because McLaughlin was on the sideline. Two guys on the field that you have to pay attention to, 87 Henry and number 7 Ross, and they just totally lost track of him by himself down the sideline. And give Brim credit, that throw was on the run, and he put it right on the chest of Ross.
And here comes the extra point try. So the Rock now trailing 20-10, could be 21 in a moment here as the rain begins to really start to add up now. Here's Harding with the boot. It's up and good. And with 22 seconds remaining, Notre Dame has taken a 21-10 lead over the Rock. We're back in 30 seconds. You're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
The Rock Station and Rock Football on 97.7.
Well, a four-play, 72-yard drive, and it wasn't much of a drive. It was one big play, 52 yards, as Brim hits Ross on a strike. And the Rock defense lacks in that defensive backfield on that play, and it cost them. They're now back down to an 11-point differential, 21-10, 22 seconds to go. Now, there was a penalty at the end of that play, and it will actually...
It was against Slippery Rock.
Against Slippery Rock, so it's going to move the kicking situation up to the 50-yard line, so an opportunity to boot it through an end zone for Harding here with 22 seconds remaining, which would not give the Rock any kind of a chance of anything here late in this second quarter. Coming up at halftime, going to take an interesting visit, do a little throwback to Coach Sean Lutz preseason. And it's interesting to hear him talk coming out of training camp about this Rock season and what could be. And I think you'll be interested to hear what did become. And also, Slippery Rock University, part of co-hosting an NCAA festival. We'll have a little discussion about that coming up at halftime as the ball is kicked through the end zone, as I mentioned. It'll be first and 10 at the 25 with 22 seconds to go. But there's a huge NCAA championship festival, six different sports being celebrated for national championship opportunities in Pittsburgh, and Slippery Rock a co-host of that, and a big factor in making it happen. I know it's been a busy week for the entire athletic department, and John Holtz, Director of Athletic Communications in particular, for that, but we'll have a little background of that, a little look inside with an NCAA report on that coming up as part of our halftime as well.
Slippery Rock victory formation, so they're just going to take a knee, go into the halftime, and try to make some adjustments here. You know, but let's call it what it is, Bob, on that last touchdown. The only adjustment to be made is don't lose track of number seven. I mean, it wasn't a bad defensive scheme or bad defensive play call. Just somebody lost track of their assignment. So keep eyes on seven, and that play never happens. So that'll be the adjustment, but there will be some other things that they'll talk about and discuss on the whiteboard.
And we've saw that happen a couple of times today where they've just lost track, and it allowed Notre Dame positive momentum. So we go to halftime. It's 21-10. We'll be back with a recap and then our halftime break. All coming your way as Rock Football continues here on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.